We love that. All right. So why does everybody like Frosty the Snowman? Because he's cool. Okay, here's another snowman joke for you. What do snowmen eat for breakfast? Frosted flakes or snowflakes? Frosted flakes, I like that one better. And what do you get when you cross a Christmas tree with an apple? A pine apple. Ah, boo. I just go to the internet, I'll tell you what. Well, this morning we're talking about Advent and peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. What's the next line? Flowing from the Father above. Sweep over my soul. Oh, come on, you got to be a little louder than that. Okay, sweep over my souls. Forever I pray in fathomless billows of love. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Where is that peace coming from? Heaven above. This morning, we're going to start by looking at my favorite Christmas scripture. It's a prophetic word, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and it goes on to say, of the greatness of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Jesus, he will be called the Prince of Peace, but why does he deserve that title? And that's what we're going to spend the morning kind of looking at this morning, and what it means to us as we look at the Advent. Thank you for whoever went over and lit the Advent candles. Last week we talked about hope, and this week we're talking about peace. If we turn to the concordance and we look up this word peace, or prince, he's the Prince of Peace. We look at the word prince for a minute, and we see that it means it's about a ruler, it's about a chief, a chieftain, somebody who's official, a captain. And we know that he is the chieftain, the leader. And by nobility, a prince is under the king, but an official. If we're looking at it in the military, he's a captain, a general, a commander. In the religious sense, he's a head, he's a priest. In representing the people, he's an elder. He's got the rank of dignity. He's got rank and dignity, I should say. He is the ruler of rulers. He is God. And the last one, he's the warden. And who sets the prisoners free? He's got the place of authority to do that. Now, this gives us understanding of the title Prince. We understand Prince, and what we're going to look at is the word peace, and that's, of course, where we're going to go today. And from our, forgot there's that little graphic there. And we're going to take a look at Luke 2:14 for a second. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. You know, I only found in the King James Version that it says peace on earth, and then goes on. It actually is a little more than that. It's peace on earth to those on whom his favors rest. Now, when we look at this, it's about where the favor rests. Is it about peace and there being no war on all the earth? It's in spite of it. It says, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Does that mean God has favorites? Now, well, let's take a look here. We're going to go back and read what the angel said just before this. It says, but the angel said to them, that's the shepherds, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for only those who win God's favor rest. What does it say? For all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior is born for just those he has favor with. No, all people. Listen, this joy is for all people. Today in this town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He's the Lord. So when we look at this favor, the favor is there, but for all. The peace rests on. Is peace there for all? But the peace rests on those who have favor, those whom believe, those who receive. You see, the peace is there for everyone. But if you don't acknowledge God, if you don't believe God, if you're looking for your peace out here and over in the world and all the situations, his favor is for you, but it's not resting on you. I don't think this is just a second here. Nope. John 14:27 says this. I'm sorry I didn't put it up there. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Who's speaking? Jesus. I do not give you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So this peace doesn't come from things, it doesn't come from circumstances, and it doesn't come from perfect people, imperfect people. In fact, when you think about where this is in Scripture, Jesus has just finished telling his disciples, look it, this is what's going to be going on in the world before I come back. And it ain't pretty, what he's talking about, all these situations. And then he goes on to say, but listen, I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you the way the world can't. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be fearful. You see, the world tries to create peace, but the peace of the world is very fragile. In fact, it's fake in most times, and it's really out of balance. But the peace that the Messiah brings, the peace that he leads us into, is that peace of salvation. And he is the only one who can give us salvation. Billy Graham, many years ago, said there are three categories of peace. And I'm going to start by just sharing with you, there's another whole message on peace that I'm going to share in the new year that is going to complement, but not today, okay? So we're going to only be able to get part through today. Anyhow, so there's three categories of peace, he said. And the first is peace with God, and it's eternal peace. And when we come to understand that we have peace with God, we have eternal peace. Colossians 1, verses 21 to 23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. Let's just stop there for just a sec. First of all, at what time were you an enemy with God, as far as God was concerned? I don't even see that. We, in our own minds, were enemies with God. It says here, once you were alienated from God and enemies in your own mind because of your own evil behavior. But God didn't see you as an enemy. You saw him as an enemy because your own heart was condemning you and convicting you, and you knew better. But even before You knew God and you believed in God. His love was there for you. In fact, well, we'll get to that in a minute. John 3:16. And it says that, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you. How are you presented before God now? Holy. As a believer, you're holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. So if you feel like, yeah, you woo, that's where I'm at. But you know what? If you're in your own heart feeling condemned, accused, but Lord, I'm not holy, I'm not righteous, I'm not, then you need to understand what Jesus has done. Because it's his finished work that took you out of the kingdom of darkness into his light. His physical body, through his death, he is able to present you holy. Holy. And man, it's like my brain doesn't. Without blemish. You know, sometimes we say that line, and it's quite, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I wish we could change that, because that's not truth. I was a sinner. I'm saved by grace. I am now holy. I am now spotless, without blemish, and without accusation. What was that? And who's accusing? You've got two. You got yourself, and you got an enemy who whispers in your ear. Stop listening to him. La, 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 la. Stop listening to him and get your mind, your thoughts about yourself set on him. And it says transform your thinking, right? We're going to believe your word or his word? I'm going to believe his word, man. I like his word. But there is a qualifier that comes with this. If you continue in the faith, established and firm. In other words, you got to trust what he says. It's like, yeah, well, he says it, but I don't believe it. But we got to trust what he says. So he says, you're free from accusation if you continue in the faith. Because if you're not continuing in the faith, believing what he says, and you're believing what the enemy says, and you're believing what he says, man, you're going to feel accused, and you're going to feel pockmarked, if I can put it that way, blemished. You aren't going to feel holy. But if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not flee from the hope held out to you in the gospel. Man, here's the hope. He says, holy, without blemish, without accusation, I've taken your sins. And I mean, this is so simple, right? How many times do we say it? I've cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Your sins are as far as the... Done. I mean, the work of Jesus on the cross was so perfect. There's where perfection is. And we have this hope held out to us in the gospel. I'm telling you what, I want to believe what the Lord says. This is the gospel you heard, and that has been proclaimed to you, or proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Isn't that a good thing to hear? The hope is out there being preached to every creature under heaven. I don't know how many times my dog's gotten saved, but preached to the dog. How many have ever preached to cows? There's a few farmers who know what it is. Maybe your horses, whatever. Moving on to the next scripture, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man, that's good. Romans 5:10 goes on to say, for while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? While we were still enemies, God so loved. Now we'll get there in just a sec. Let me take us to 2 Corinthians 15:18. For those of you who don't know, 2 Corinthians 5 is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. It's good. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then he did something. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. For God so loved the world. You see, this is what I'm trying to make point. God was not our enemy. We're our enemy in our own mind against him. God so loved the world that what did he do? Only son. That's a prophetic proclamation. Isaiah, we just read it this morning. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to read a book by Don Richardson called The Peace Child. And if you haven't, you can still get it on Amazon. I checked. It's a fabulous book. In fact, Don, I can't remember his wife's name off the top of my head right now, were missionaries in Guinea serving the Swahi, I think is the way I pronounce it. Not Swahili, Swahi, I think is how it was pronounced. Tribes there, they're cannibals. And their life and their culture is based around treachery. They celebrate treachery. And so when this missionary couple got in there to take the gospel, the good news, to all the creatures of the earth, and they're sharing, and they've had to learn the language, and they're finally sharing the gospel, you know who they thought was the good guy in the story? Any ideas? The story of Jesus? Judas. Judas the treacherous. Woo! What a man! Because, you see, that's their culture. That was how they were thinking. And so, again, the whole idea of coming to how do we share with these people, and the understanding of the peace child. What if you were asked to give your child, your baby, to a cannibalistic people who are treacherous? I'm not going to give you more details into the story. You can read it. It's fabulous. But you see, Jesus is the priest child. God so loved the world that he gave the peace child. He gave his son to a treacherous world so that we could be reunited, reconnected with God, that our hearts could be changed. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And verse 17 is just as important. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You see, then we can go back to that verse that says we are made holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, because he didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. He came to change us. We're not condemned. We have an opportunity. And again, it says, for whoever will believe, and not everyone will believe. It goes on to say that those that choose not to, they already stand condemned by their own hearts, by their own choices. But those who choose to believe, those who receive the peace child, we have eternal peace with God, and it's all because of Jesus. Now here, I want to understand as we go on this morning, each category of peace builds on the other. So we've started, we have peace with God, and as we come to understand the sacrifice that he made for us because of his great love for you and for me, then we can go on to experience the peace of God, which is an internal peace, peace within ourselves, peace in our emotions. When we have peace with God, we will be filled with the peace of God. And that peace is shalom. And I've just condensed it down, the definition of shalom. The shalom of God is completeness, soundness, welfare, peace, safety, health, prosperity, quietness, tranquility, contentment, friendship with God, especially in covenant relationship, which we have through Jesus, and peace from more. So when we say hear the word shalom or peace, sometimes we just don't understand the denseness of that word, how rich it is with the goodness of God. I'm going to read to you right now some Bible scriptures from different translations. First from the Hebrews Name version of the Bible, and then the Complete Jewish Bible. And rather than using the word peace, English, they put in the Hebrew word shalom. Again, Jesus says, shalom I leave with you. My shalom I give you. Take a look at that word shalom. This is what he's given us. I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let it be fearful. John 14, 27. You will keep him in perfect shalom whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. That's speaking to God and how good he is. The God of shalom brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Yeshua, by the blood of the eternal covenant. Hebrews 13:20. Seek the shalom of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in shalom of it shall be your shalom. So again, wherever you are, pray for the peace of your city. Pray for the shalom of your city, so that you too may have peace. And that's Jeremiah 29:7. Now may the God of shalom himself give you shalom always. And always, the Lord be with all of you. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And God, the source of shalom, will soon crush the adversary under your feet. The grace of our Lord Yeshua be with you. Romans 16:20. I know every time I hear that, I always think of youth retreat and a song we used to sing. How's it go? The God of peace will soon crush Satan. God will crush him underneath your feet. And then you jump. Our enemy is defeated through Jesus. And because of what he's done, we have internal peace. Peace within ourselves. Our peace is emotional when we keep our minds and our hearts steadfast on what Jesus has already done for us, for you and for me. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Be thankful. You're called to peace. As a member of the body of Christ, let his peace rule your heart. We're going to move on to the third category of peace, and that is peace with others, relational peace. Our peace with God, So our peace with God brings us into relationship first with him, seeing him as he really is, not how we thought he was. because he is our Father. He is our friend. He is the one who cares for us, who guides us, who provides for us, who gives us purpose and destiny, and that is not an exhaustive list. And that peace that we have, that eternal peace with God, builds, and we start seeing ourselves through his eyes. We see what we have become through his, through the finished work of Jesus. We see that we are new creations. We see that by his grace and his power and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are something new. And we have internal peace, which goes on to build on. We now have relational peace with others. Oops, okay. 2 Corinthians 5:16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Ephesians 2:14-18. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, the Gentiles and the Jews, one, as he destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulation. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, that's us, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Peace. Isn't that wonderful? Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ. So we've come through this, each of these categories of peace, and just see how they build. We have first peace with God. He's not our enemy. And he sees us differently and what he's done through the cross. Oops, I should go here. We have eternal peace. God's never going to be at war with you again as a believer. Amen? Amen? Amen. And that brings us to a place, the peace of God, where we can carry the peace of God, the eternal peace within ourselves. And then the last is that relational peace, because we no longer see the world as we once did. We see them with the eyes of Christ, the eyes of our God. And all of this started through the love of God and with Jesus. And as he walked this life, as he walked in this life, he was Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, when we think of what he did, what he left behind, and as Wendy's story shared, to humble himself and come and be made like us in every way, born in a manger. I mean, some of us, you know, we had a better place to be born than that, even though we had humble circumstances. But he was willing to because of his great love for us. And through his death on the cross, not only did he pay the price for your sin and my sin, but he became our sin, died in our place. Scripture says, I was crucified with Christ. And then going to the grave and to hell, in your place and my place. But it doesn't end there. Because he rose again. He conquered the grave, death, and hell to the glory of God. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father as an eternal intercessor. Eternal, not internal. Eternal intercessor on our behalf and has brought us the victory through him. So I started this morning by asking the question, Why does Jesus deserve to be called the Prince of Peace? Because he is. Because he has done it. I hope that what I shared this morning has brought light into the idea of Prince of Peace more richly. Does he deserve the title? Yes, he does. See, our peace is more than just a tranquil, quiet feeling. It's more than that. It's a celebration of the eternal victory that we have, that is established forever in our Lord and our Savior, our Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So as we go from this place this morning, let's go rejoicing in the peace that we have. Let's go rejoicing like the angels did and proclaim the gloriousness that happened that Eve, the first Christmas Eve, we could say. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests, you and I. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me as we pray? Jesus, Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, our Prince of Peace, because what you have established for us is absolutely amazing. And you did it while we were yet still enemies in our own hearts and minds. Because of your great love, Lord, because of your great love. As we go from this place, as we go out celebrating the birth of a Savior and the coming back of our Prince of Peace, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can share the good news, the hope that's in us, we can hold out to others. And again, Father, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor, the everlasting Father. In your precious name we pray. And all the highly favored ones said, amen, amen. Amen.